you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. I'd like to extend a special welcome to all of you winter hardy souls for making it here this morning, and especially any intrepid folks who are here for the first time. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zemer. It's my privilege to serve as a minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Justin Chekai, who's serving as our worship associate, our director of religious education, Karen Lapidus, our music director, Hal Walker, and the Golden Tones Junior Choir. We also want to thank Deb Biggins and William Lang for their participation in the service this morning. I'd also like to let you know that Kent Social Services has been staying open on the coldest days of the winter this year and will be doing so through Thursday. And this is to provide a warming shelter for folks who need a warm place to be. They are in need of volunteers to come and staff Kent Social Services for three-hour shifts to answer the phones, to greet people, to orient them to the facilities. If you might have 3 hours to spare between during the evening or overnight between now and Thursday, please call the shelter during business hours or let Christy Anderson know, and she'd be happy to sign you up.
When we gather for multi-generational worship, it has become our tradition to use our child-friendly chalice lighting. So join me if you know this, please. We light our chalice because we're Unitarian Universalists. This is the Church of the Open Mind. This is the Church of the Helping Hands. This is the Church of the Loving Heart.
There are all kinds of situations that require courage. Courage to climb a tree. Courage to try that first piece of sushi. Courage to face your past. Courage to stand up for something that you believe. Courage to admit fault. In these scenarios, one must display tremendous fortitude. However, I think the situation that requires the most courage is the one that calls us to look inside ourselves, to look deeply and see the things within us that maybe could use a little adjustment and to create change within. Self-evaluation and commitment to improvement are what stand at the core of a lion's heart. A good friend of mine often says everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. While he mostly says that as a reminder that you have to take the good and the bad in everyone that you encounter, I've turned it into a motto of sorts. If I know that everybody has strengths and weaknesses, then I must possess the realization of my own strengths and weaknesses. And in this inner exploration, I have found that it takes remarkable courage to recognize and improve upon my weaknesses. Benjamin Franklin once said, "How few there are who have the courage enough to own their faults, or resolution enough to mend them." Come, let us worship together.
In order to follow the spirit of this hymn, "'Tis a gift to be simple," I thought we'd simplify this and sing this unaccompanied in a sacred song circle. So I'm going to go into the center, and I'd like to invite you all to huddle around, and we'll create a big sacred song circle and sing simply, "'Tis a gift to be simple."
Thank you.
just had a baby this year. There's more. The Lion King is a very rich story, which centers around the circle of life. Basically, life, death, and rebirth, and the continued cycle through time. But it also has more elements to it, and one of those is bravery and courage, obviously, what our service today is all about. So I've been tasked to present you The Lion King in a flash, which will hopefully set you up to understand the rest of the service if you haven't already seen the movie or the musical. So we start off with the protagonist and antagonist. He's the bad guy, he's the good guy. We got Mufasa and we got Scar, okay? Now, Scar, they're brothers, and Scar's not real happy with Mufasa because Mufasa's king of all the Pride Lands. And so Scar's always jealous of Mufasa. But he says, well, one day maybe I'll get to be king. Well, that's too bad because then Simba's born. And during after Simba's born, they do a little ceremony at the top of Pride Rock. And Rafiki, who's like the minister of the African animals, kind of like Melissa is to us, holds up Simba, and everybody in the crowd's like, yeah, Simba, future king, you know. Why the zebras are excited about that, I don't know. Anyway, so now Scar is very mad because now he knows that he will never get to be king because Simba will be king. So he will plot to do what he has to do to get rid of Simba. Simba also has a friend named Nala, who we'll get to later, but they're best buds and they get in a whole bunch of trouble. Not like any of the kids ever get in any trouble, but these guys do. So Simba grows up and Mufasa gives him the lessons about being a king and these are all your lands and you got to be a good king. And Simba says, well, will you always be with me? And Mufasa says, well, not really, but if you look up to the stars, I'll always be watching down on you because all the kings of the past look down on us and that's what the stars are. So now Scar's plotting, to get rid of Simba so that he could be king. So he's like, hey, Simba. Simba's like, yo, what's up? He's like, hey, come check this out. So he takes him down to the gorge. He's like, I got a surprise for you. Simba's like, okay, cool. And Scar's like, all right, well, just wait here. So Simba's just waiting here. Meanwhile, Scar goes up, and he causes a stampede of wildebeest, and the wildebeest are coming. Simba's like, oh, no, no. You know, so then Mufasa's like, oh, no, I got to save Simba. And he comes down, and he gets Simba, and he saves him. And he throws him up on a cliff. Unfortunately, you know, Mufasa's stuck in the wildebeest, and he tries climbing up a little cliff, and then there's Scar, and Scar's like, oh, Mufasa, I finally got you. And so he pushes Mufasa down into the wildebeest. Unfortunately, Mufasa dies. So then Simba's all like, oh no, what happened? Obviously, he's lost his father. Scar says, oh, it's all your fault. And Scar's, and Simba's like, no, it's not my fault. He's like, yes, it is. So you better run away. And Simba's like, okay, I will. So he runs away. So Simba leaves the Pride Lands. He's walking through the desert, and he collapses because he's hungry, he's thirsty, and, he's exhausted. Well, then in come our friends, Pumbaa and Timon, a meerkat and a warthog, in the middle of the desert. Don't know why. Anyway, riding through the desert, and they see Simba, and they're like, whoa, that's a lion. And they're like, we shouldn't help him. Like, but he needs help. So they decide to help him. So they pick him up, and they take him to the jungle. And so they're sitting there, and they're watching him. Simba wakes up. He's like, whoa. They're like, whoa. And he's like, they're like, don't eat us. He's like, I won't. He's like, you guys want to be friends? They're like, yeah. They're like, well, check it out. We got this thing called Hakuna Matata. He's like, what? Hakuna Matata. Like, it means no worries. No responsibilities. You don't have to worry about anything. You just live your life. He's like, cool. All right, I can dig that. So time goes by. Simba grows up into a real lion, and they're just having fun, being friends. And then all of a sudden, one day, there's another lion in the jungle. And she comes running out, and she sees the warthog and the meerkat, and she's like, "Woo, food!" And she's like, "They're like, ah!" And so they start running away. So then, whoa! So then they're running away, from the lion, and then Simba comes out of nowhere, he tackles the lion, and they're like, "Rah!" And they're like, fighting. And then all of a sudden, Simba's like, "Nala," and Nala's like, "Simba." She's like, "Oh my gosh, you're alive!" Because they thought he was dead, because he ran away. She's like, "Simba, you have to come back. Pride Lands are a mess, Scar's king, and there's no food." And he's like, I can't do that. She said, but it's your responsibility, you're the king, you have to face your past. So they get mad at each other, and they walk off, and now we leave Simba in a state of deep reflection on his past and what his actions should be.
So sometimes that happens for us, where someone tells us we should do something, and we're not sure, and we're confused about what's the right thing to do. When that happens, one of the things that can help us is to take a little quiet time, to center ourselves and have some time for reflection. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to take a few moments to center ourselves and reflect together on being here this morning, right now, and opening ourselves up to this space. And we'll keep silence while we do that for a few moments. Spirit of life and of love, spirit of mystery and wonder, this is the day that we have been given. May we rejoice and be glad in it and know it as a gift. It can be hard to do sometimes, to know each day as a gift, especially when the snows pile and the winds are cold and the little worries of our lives weigh on our minds. It can be hard to recognize each day as a gift when we get big news of grief for ourselves, for our family, and our friends. It can be hard to greet each day as a gift when we read the news of the world, when we hear the news this week of more tragedy. It can be hard to greet each day as a gift. And so we pray this morning for courage. Courage for ourselves that we can be open to all of life. The griefs, yes, the worries, of course, but also the joys and also the gifts and especially the blessings so that we may know life whole. May it be so, and amen.
She's wrong. I can't go back.
What would it prove anyway? It won't change anything. You can't change the past.
I rejoin Simba on his journey of self-reflection.
Thank you very much, Squash Banana. You're a baboon and I'm not.
Come on, please stop following me. Who are you? I thought I knew. Now I'm not so sure.
Well, I know who you are. Shh, come here. It's a secret. Thank you very much. You're a baboon. I'm a banana. You're not.
Enough already. What's that supposed to mean?
It means you're a baboon and I'm not.
I think you're a little confused.
Wrong. I'm not the one who's confused. You're not. You don't even know who you are.
Oh, and I suppose you know.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy.
Hey, wait. You knew my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope, wrong again. He's alive. And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki. She knows the way. Come on. Don't dawdle. Hurry up, hurry up. Come on, come on. Come on, stop. Shh. Look down there in the pool of water.
That's not my father. That's just my reflection.
No, look harder. You'll see. He lives in you.
Father?
Simba, you have forgotten me.
No, how could I?
You have forgotten who you are, and so you have forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
Please don't leave me.
Remember.
Father.
Remember.
Don't leave me.
Remember.
What was that? The weather. Weather. Very peculiar, don't you think?
Yeah, looks like the winds are changing.
Ah, change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do. But going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Huh, you see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
No, not the stick. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going back.
Good. Go on, get out of here.
When I was growing up, we didn't have any pets at my house. I had three sisters, and my mom thought that the four of us was enough. Except when we were teenagers and my sister persuaded her to have gerbils. Those were the only pets. One of my good friends had a cat, and another one had some fish and a turtle, but none of my good friends had dogs, so I didn't really grow up with dogs. When I was 23 years old, I started dating somebody who had a dog. And as I didn't know very much about dogs, I was a little nervous to meet the dog, but I decided I was going to put on a brave face. So the day came to meet the dog, and I opened the door to the house and said, "Hello," and reached out to pet the dog, and the dog jumped up and bit me. I didn't know you're not supposed to do that. I know now. Do you all know how you're supposed to greet dogs? Everybody knows that you're supposed to let the dog sniff your hand. See, no one told me that. I didn't know to look it up. There wasn't the internet. I got bit. So I started to become afraid of dogs, even more than that nervousness I used to have. But then I got a little bit older, and I knew more and more people with dogs, and I saw how wonderful their relationships with their dogs were. And so I decided I was going to get a dog. But first, I was going to have to figure out how to get over my fear. I was going to have to figure out how to develop courage. All month long, we've been talking about different kinds of courage here at church. If there's one feature that's common to all different types of courage, it's fear. Being courageous always involves facing our fears. I've had lots of fears that I've had to develop courage to face. In addition to dogs, I have also been afraid of heights and the dark and mice, to name just a few. I've had to face my fear of dogs because I wanted to get a dog. I had to face my fear of heights because I like to go hiking in the mountains, and when you get to the top, can't help but look down. I had to face my fear of the dark because I like to go camping in the woods. I haven't had to face my fear of mice because I can't think of anything I'd like to do that involves mice. When we have a purpose in mind, when there's something we want to do, that can help us develop the courage to face our fears. The purpose is what helps us. The Unitarian Universalist minister Galen Gingrich says that courage is about responding to a calling greater than fear. Courage doesn't eliminate fear, he says. It sees a path through the fear to the calling beyond it. The key to courage is not the fear, he says, but the calling. In the story of The Lion King, Simba runs away because he's afraid of his feelings and the consequences of what he thought were his actions. He thinks that he's the one who's responsible for his father's death. He thinks that he made a big mistake, and he's afraid to face his community. He's afraid of what they will think, and he's afraid of what they will say, and most especially, he's afraid of his own big feelings inside of himself, big feelings of sorrow and grief and regret. He doesn't know what else to do, so he runs away. His running takes him to Pumbaa and Timon, who teach him Hakuna Matata: no rules, no responsibilities, no worries. When he first meets them, this sounds like a great escape to Simba. When Nala tries to persuade him to return to the Pride Lands and help his community, he explained his adapted philosophy to her. Sometimes bad things happen and there's nothing you can do, so why worry? Nala planted a seed of doubt, encouraging him to return, to take responsibility. Rafiki watered that seed, and his father's encouragement helped make it grow. Simba's community helped him remember his obligations are to more than himself. With that remembered purpose, Simba finally was able to find the courage to return and face his fears. What happened to Simba during his time with Pumbaa and Timon can happen to us too. There are an awful lot of people singing Hakuna Matata to us. Did you know that? All the time they're singing Hakuna Matata. They say don't worry about how some people have way more money than they need and some people don't have enough money to buy food. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do. They say don't worry that coal mining is destroying the mountains. There's nothing you can do. Don't worry about it. Go watch some television instead. They say don't worry about how some people are treated unfairly because of the color of their skin or what country they were born in or who they love. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do. Go shopping or play a video game instead. No worries. Hakuna Matata. The people who say these things to us represent money or power or often both. They represent people who stand to gain more money or more power by leaving things just the way they are. Like Simba, some people look out at injustice in the world and say, oh well, it's too big, there's nothing I can do about it, so I might as well not worry about it. I'll just worry about myself. That's one way to be in the world. But that's not our way. In this church, we say that everything is connected, and therefore that we're responsible for more than ourselves. We believe that there's always something we can do to make this world a tiny bit better. We trust that we can face our fears and cultivate our capacity for courage. We do this by reminding each other that our choices matter. We do this by supporting each other to make good choices, choices in line with our values of love and service, truth and kindness, peace and justice. But most especially, we do this by affirming again and again that we are not alone. We're not alone, and we don't need to struggle alone. When we don't know the right thing to do, we don't have to just run away. Our community can help us. Our community can help us think through the right choice. When we're feeling alone, we don't have to stay by ourselves and feel lonely. We can reach out to our community who can give us hope. When we're feeling weak and weary, we can come back to our community, which can give us strength. Our own spiritual practices are important. By meditating, we can become more patient, grounded, and free. Through prayer, we can open our hearts, cultivate our compassion, and listen for the still small voice that some people call God. By walking in the woods, we can quench our thirst for beauty and wonder. By reading sacred scriptures, we can learn from the wisdom of the world's religions. By reading theology and ethics, we can broaden our thoughts about what matters and how we should live our lives. All of those are good and important things to do, good and important spiritual practices that can help us live a better life. And yet, the nature of life is interdependent, interconnected. We become who we are through our relationships. By choosing this religious community, we're choosing a whole network of relationships right here that give us the opportunity to develop our values together, to practice living our lives in alignment with our values. It's hard sometimes to be the people who we most want to be. This community is a place where we can come again and again to practice, to find strength and hope, and to receive encouragement on our journey. May it be so, and amen.
In my work here at the church, I've witnessed many episodes of children and youth who have found the courage to do what is needed for the good of this faith community. I've witnessed school-age children participate in difficult, facilitated conversations in order to resolve conflict between them. I've witnessed middle school youth who have called out their peers to be more kind and respectful. I have witnessed our high school youth taking the risk to hold each other to their shared covenant. They resisted the temptation of Hakuna Matata to have no cares and no responsibilities and acted with courage and responsibility.
Courage, for deep down there's another truth. You are not.